Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And here we are
starting out so good that I'm
hearing myself in the studio.
We should start a song with it. Are you there?
Now am I here?
There you are.
I'm here. And it's just one of me. Yay, one of me.
What happened? That was interesting. Interesting.
Well, what's funny is that we get everything all set up, folks. And as soon as we go live, then all hell breaks loose. Because there's no way we can do some of the configuration before we go live on the air. And we're doing a different... Well, I'm not supposed to talk about how we're doing it just right now because we've been asked by Blog Talk not to since...
Well, it doesn't think to tell anybody about it anyway. Nobody knows what we're talking about. It's other than we've had a fighting battle for weeks now about how to do this thing.
Well, and it's been getting better. I mean, there's a... I won't get into too much detail because nobody cares anyways. Instead, what they care about is, hi, welcome to Oregon Update, and hopefully things are going to go better, better, better. And my name's Robin, and Cliff, how are things in Cottage Grove Town?
Things in Cottage Grove are just overcast. It's warm and very humid. Yes, the other day I was sitting there looking at the humidity in the house with 70% humidity in the house. And even if it's not real warm with that kind of humidity, it's really muggy. Gah. I was sitting there perspiring all over myself.
You know, it would sound like a rap song. It's muggy in the house!
Oh, there's a couple of old songs that are that way that sound like that. Railroad runs through the middle of the house, and so on and so forth. Anyway, lots of things to talk about this this Monday. Lots of things happening. Everybody's unhappy with Mr. Obama.
Oh yeah, the Obama tax, and so we're going to talk. We're going to touch a little bit about that, and we'll also talk a little bit about Eric Holder. The contempt of Congress has been filed, but it has no teeth. And Cliff wanted to get into a little bit about the heat wave that's going on.
As far as Eric Holder is concerned, I don't think anything is set on that. Everybody's gone out for vacation and for the 4th of July, so there's nothing happening anywhere on anything for that matter. And I don't blame them.
The market goes, thank God they can't hurt us if they're on vacation.
Well, I don't know if they can or not. I saw a thing on television yesterday. I saw Obama's hideaway or getaway. He doesn't have a whatever you want to call it, a farm or a big ranch or something. And Clinton didn't have one. Everybody else does. But he rents a place for $10,000 a week to vacation in. That's fairly expensive as far as I'm concerned. It's not the most expensive one that's out there. Jennifer Aniston owned the most expensive one. That was $22,000 a week that she rents it for.
Yeah, but you know, the president is a celebrity.
Well, that's true, and they rent out for more after he's left because he is a celebrity, and they can say that, you know, the presidential suite is indeed the presidential suite.
Yeah, absolutely. He walks around, you know, and with all of his glitter on his bling, go, hey, I'm the Obama man.
It's a nice place. It really isn't as nice as Jennifer Aniston's house, but it also doesn't cost as much, so we can be thankful for that. But $10,000 a week, a couple of weeks of that, and that adds up.
That's true. It's only one-third of my salary. I mean, why not, you know?
It's all of my salary. Almost.
And speaking of salary, let's move right into Dancing Dog Dookies. Oh, God, help me. Dancing Dog Cookies.
Oh.
Yeah, them. The ones they go good with milk, don't they?
Yes, as a matter of fact, and with hot chocolate, too.
And with hot chocolate. Dancing Dog Cookies. They're made by hand in Eugene, Oregon, by Tom and Kathy. They're available in select stores within Lane County, are available on the internet at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And you can also check us out right now at 646-721-9887. And as always, if you're listening to us on the archive, you can check us out there, too, by sending us an email at talk@krbnradio.com or check us out on the Internet at krbnradio.com. And Cliff is the administrator on that one. He does a really good job. So at least check it out. Show his counter that at least you're looking at it. It makes him feel really good. And he eats more cookies when he does that.
Anything on there this week because I was sick. But we'll get back to it. It's good. We have it's an interesting thing. We had a presidential election, if you knew it or not. Mexico.
Did we get rid of the one we got in there? Or is it somebody else's election?
Mexico elected a new president. That's who it is. So just thought I'd mention that. And the fact that, he's a new president, but he's actually the old president. they brought back a president or something like that. But he won pretty well, handily, and one of his big things is he wants a Mexico with no room for corruption, no room for cover-ups, and no room for impunity. Well, he's going to have to go a long ways to get rid of corruption. I understand there's corruption everywhere, but every policeman can be bought.
Well, that's true, and maybe he'd put a different swing on what it says in the Bible. About, I want my people to come home. But then again, since we're one step to amnesty, they may not want to come home.
I want my people to come home. Okay, I don't think he does. What would they do with 10 million more people in Mexico? They couldn't handle 10 million more people. My God, they have enough trouble.
Well, here's my suggestion to them. I mean, I know that they're corrupt and just like, you know, the way we think about our government is just became a way of life. But with all the people that are in Mexico, if you actually turned it around with all the riches that Mexico offers and worked on making a profit, I mean, is there any reason why Mexico really, in their own right, couldn't become a superpower in itself?
I don't know. I don't know what this, I mean, what Mexico has oil, I know that, but they're not allowing that to go to get out because they're saving it. Does Mexico have to offer?
Well, I guess it's very wealthy in minerals and other stuff. I don't have the list in front of me, but
that'd be interesting because I don't know what, you know, there's Mexico must have a problem because, you know, they've had years and years and years to make it work and nobody ever has. So I don't know what it is.
Well, see, that's the thing. When you got corruption or whatever going on, it stifles. What somebody said, socialism only benefits the socialists, not the people. You know, so it stifles their growth.
Yeah. Well, people there work cheap enough. They certainly can't call that a problem. So I don't know what they have in Mexico. I mean, tourism, they have tourism. I know that. That's a good thing. But that can't support Mexico entirely. I know Mexico City is such a huge city and living in such a small space. I don't know what they do there. They have prehistoric sites and different things like that, but that you can't sell that really. I mean, other than for tourism, I don't know what Mexico has. I don't know if they have gold or silver or anything in abundance or not.
I'm trying to look that up real quick, see if I can find what their natural resources are.
Yeah, really, it's kind of an interesting. I hadn't thought about it before, but there's got to be a lot there.
Well, when you look at the physical size of it.
Well, of course, that doesn't mean much of anything. In Texas, we have oil, so at least one part of that upper part of Mexico that touches Texas has got to have some oil. It's got to be, it can't just stay within the line of the United States. There's got to be oil there. There's got to be a lot of things, I would think. So I don't know.
Well, it says here that Mexico is the largest North American auto-producing nation with industrial complexes. Natural resources.
Yeah. Did you say auto-producing or auto-polluting?
Producing.
Well, they don't produce many cars, do they?
Well, we send a lot of our stuff there to be manufactured.
Well, there's an awful lot of stuff that we send there to be manufactured. I mean, going back to electronics, we send our electronics down there to be manufactured. We send a lot of things down there to be manufactured, but mostly because the labor is cheap. So,
right, that'd be one of those things that would change. You know, if they ever got their act together and became a world power.
Well, that's a good thing to hit on because, not everybody can earn that kind of money. That's the problem. What's the problem with the United States? The people in the United States can't earn as much money as they are. They've got millions of them have got to cut their paychecks down so that everybody is earning less money because everybody can't be rich. It just can't happen. And we're very close to that in the United States. Everybody's making huge money. So that's got to change. The unions are, see, I have a thing against the unions myself because they've created tremendous problems. There's a tremendous disparity amongst union workers and civilian workers, shall we say. And most of the unions in this particular case are government unions. But they make twice as much as the civilian counterparts do. And we've got to do something about that. And it's not bring the civilian counterparts up to them. It's bringing the the government parts down. One of the things is...
Go ahead and finish your thought.
One of the things is there the things that they get afterwards. All of the extras that they get other than their salary. Their salary is kept low so they can keep all of those benefits up after they're off. There, a lot of people, a lot of the government employees retire at 90% or sometimes over 100% of their regular wages and the paycheck. And the problem is, you see, they're there for a limited time as a wage earner. They make their wages for an X amount of time, but their retirement pay goes on forever until they die. Right. And
Anyways, I want to kind of move on. We'll address Mexico in some of the future things because it sounds like it'd be worth looking into. Anyway, 646-721-9887. If you have any comments on this or anything else that we're talking about today. And I do want to kind of get back into one of our first topics today, which is as we approach the Independence Day, how, in a sense, the Supreme Court and the Constitution has been challenged, and brings up to one of my questions I've asked a long time ago is what do you do if you have a rogue president and our system doesn't work? But what I wanted to kind of start the segment off with is a little montage I put together.
Justice John Roberts handed President Obama a big victory yesterday, writing for the Supreme Court majority that upheld the president's singular accomplishment, which is the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. While Roberts sided with the conservatives on the court in saying that the Constitution's Commerce Clause would not support Obamacare because you can't force people to buy a product, he said Congress does have the power to lay out and collect taxes, which is how he classified the so-called shared responsibility payment in the law. The president pushed through the bill in insisting that it was not a tax and promised that he would never raise taxes on the middle class today, said that he was delighted that the court realized that the individual mandate is merely a huge new tax on the middle class.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
The practical operation of the minimum coverage provision is as a tax law. Do you agree with your attorney's assertion to the Supreme Court that it is a tax provision?
I think it operates the same way a tax would operate, but it is not per se a tax.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Well, he said it wasn't a tax, didn't he?
Well, Justice Scalia, what the two things about that. Yeah. First is, it seems to me, what matters is what power Congress was exercising. And they were, and I think it's clear that they were exercising the tax power as well as...
You're making two arguments. Number one, it's a tax. And number two, even if it isn't a tax, it's within the taxing power. I'm just addressing the first.
But the president said...
Is it a tax or not a tax? The president didn't take it.
The president said it wasn't a tax increase because it ought to be understood as an incentive to get people to have insurance. I don't think it's fair to infer from that anything about whether this is an exercise of the tax power or not.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
30% of U.S. companies say that when it comes time for Obamacare to kick in, they will likely not offer health insurance to their employees anymore.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
And you can have a situation, which we're seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Insurance companies actually are happy to have a mandate. The insurance companies don't mind making sure that everybody has to purchase their product. That's not something they're objecting to.
And you're working for
Obama. It's a fruit topping. It's a flour wax. You're both right.
That's for sure. Well, you know, even with all of that hype and promotion that he gives it, more people don't want it than do want it. Now, it's tight. It's not quite as wide as I thought it was. 51% of Americans say that they don't want, they still don't want that tax or whatever you want to call it. But 51% say they don't want it. Now, that doesn't mean that 49% say they do. That means actually about 35%, 39% say they do. So, because there's some in there that don't care one way or don't have an opinion. But it's still a majority of the people don't want that service, whether it's a tax or whatever tax it is. So that's still going to be one of the first things on, I'm sure, Romney's list of things to do is get rid of it,
yeah.
However he wants to do it.
And speaking of Romney, within the first 24 hours of the passage from the Supreme Court, the $4.3 million were donated to the Romney camp. In fact, yeah. What's kind of interesting, too, is that there's a new word coming out there to try and shame people who are against the tax. And I think this was Nancy Pelosi's doing. I've got a quick audio here for this one. But if you don't do it, you're called a free rider. Listen.
It doesn't matter in political discourse. You know that. The president was adamant saying the individual man had a tax. Well, in fact, his own solicitor general went to the Supreme Court and said this is constitutional under the taxing authority of Congress.
That's right.
So that's not how it was sold to the American people.
No, it's a penalty. It's a penalty that comes under the tax code for the 1% perhaps of the population who may decide that they're going to be free riders. But most people are not affected by it.
It's a new tax.
No.
Free riders is the new word.
Free riders, huh?
Free riders, you know. RIDRS. So if you don't go along with Obama, with the Obama tax, and you're one of those people that just want to do the penalty, the tax, you're a free rider. And let me throw in one last soundbite here real quick, because Nancy Pelosi explains how it's going to be paid.
Those who want to be free riders have to pay. They either have to take responsibility and buy insurance, and there are many ways for them to do it, or they get a penalty. And the penalty, yes, it is charged under the tax code. It could come any other place, but it's under the tax code. And the tax code is a place where the federal government has all the constitutional authority to act, as the court said.
Just one more on this.
So it's a penalty, but it's a tax, but it's a tax, but it's a penalty. And to add to that, I want to go ahead and open the phone lines real quick. Area code 212, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Basically, you know, the mandate, it's basically a tax on the uninsured, meaning the only people that will have to pay it are people that are uninsured. So it's actually, you know, it's almost as if this policy is basically telling people that if you're not insured, then we're going to tax you because you can't afford insurance. And then those taxes are going to help pay for your insurance. So basically, it's forcing uninsured to buy insurance. But the main cost of this health care is not going to be that, because that's still a small percentage of the population. The major cost of health care is going to be the complete destruction of the health care system, the elimination of choices. You know, you might be free even if you decide not to follow the law and do your own thing. It's still going to affect you because the choices won't be out there. You know, this is just a way to funnel money and increase money into the hands of the politicians and the insurance companies, which are all basically the same thing, and funnel it to the major medical services of which supply they completely control.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And in fact, employers can now say, because it's the law, they can say, we're not going to insure you anymore, and you have to pick up the tab now.
That's definitely going to happen. Yep.
As a fact. great many of the people are going to do that. Great many people have already decided that the one minute that takes effect, that they're going to drop corporate insurance. They're going to eliminate it entirely and make, because you don't need to do that then, because the individual has to pay for it. And if the individual isn't paying for it, they're going to be taxed for it. And so the way I look at it, if they pay for it, they can have some decision in what they get. But if they're being taxed for it, or it's been being paid for them, they don't have any decision at all. And so even if you're in trouble, if you can afford it, you should pay for it. But on the same token, a lot of those people can't afford it, or that don't have it, can't afford it. And so that's a bad story.
Exactly. According to a report by McKinsey, 30% of American companies say that when it comes down to the Obamacare, that they will stop offering health insurance. And if you figure it out, some of the people that cover the whole family are paying anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a month, so it actually would be cheaper not to have the insurance and just pay the penalty.
Right. And they say you can keep the same plan, but then they say, oh, but the plan, we're going to change the plans of the plan, because the plan now has to include all these different things and has all these new requirements. So it's basically a different plan. It has more costs, and it costs more. Insurance for some businesses have gone up 50% in 2 years. You know, so they say you can keep the same plan, except it's going to be a different plan and it's going to cost you more. And no one, and then, you know, everyone's going to be fall into the government system at the end. I mean, you know, no one's going to be able to afford private. They're trying to get the private insurance companies out of the equation so they can funnel money directly, just like they do with Medicare.
Yeah, I've heard a report that we certainly wouldn't want to go like England does and do the British idea. But actually, at this particular point, ours is so confused and so messed up. England looks real bright. Looks like a good idea.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, in each state in America today, we already have socialism. Healthcare is run by basically politicians in the states completely. You know, citizens can't buy out of state. Why would anyone even want to go out of state? Why can't you just buy from someone else in state? Because it's already illegal to buy in state. Only one, two, or three in each state are approved by politicians. They're antitrust exempt. The consumers must buy from them, can't go anywhere else or out of state. The politicians fix the price of every single reimbursement that the insurance pays in the Medicare reimbursement schedule. So they tell them, once you collect all this money, these high premiums, because you have basically a monopoly in the state, now we're going to tell you where to send the money. And we're going to tell you to send billions and $2,000, $3,000 reimbursements and $10,000 reimbursements to the hospitals, to the major medical services that they don't let anyone operate except their friends. And to the doctors and everyone else, they tell them send the minimum. $20, $30 for a procedure. So they're basically, it's a completely controlled money funneling system, which has nothing to do with healthcare, has only to do with money funneling. And this Obamacare just gives the federal government control and spending power over it, so they can increase the funneling through deficits that states can't have.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And plus, this sets a precedent in future laws. In fact, when you break it right down, typically a tax is based either on a purchase or income or some type of action that you're taking. And what they're doing here is they're setting up a tax for an inaction, and how they're going to regulate that. They're saying there's going to be some tax credits. I'm assuming that's how they're going to do it to offset the penalty. But the insurance is just one example of what can happen in the future. Okay, and I'll put you on hold there for a moment, caller, because we got music coming in, and I'll open you back up in just a second. But yeah, it sets a precedent for it's just like growing crops or whatever, that where the government would pay you not to grow a certain commodity. Cliff, are you still there?
And they're trying to make sure now that they have more and more of the well people paying their their tax or what their payment. They want them to get that insurance because if you're a well person, they're not going to have to spend as much money on you as if you were a sick person. So consequently, they need that money to actually to hold up the whole system. Otherwise, this whole system is it can't work. That's why it needs to be totally rethought. And the Obama system is not rethinking it in the right direction.
I agree. Caller, you should be back with us now.
Yeah, hi. This is definitely not going to work. I mean, we're in big trouble. Healthcare is going to be destroyed. It's already been destroyed. I mean, there's thousands of companies. I worked for one that they can't sell their product even though it's better because GE makes a competitive product. And the people in charge of the reimbursement say, we're not going to reimburse a more efficient or better product, healthcare product, because when it's a new innovative product, it costs more because there's no factories yet building it. They can only produce 1,000, 2,000 a month. They need to invest in a factory. And they don't have the funding to do it. And the people in charge of the reimbursement say, oh, you know, we're going to have a hearing about it in 6 months. And then they have a hearing and they say, okay, we're going to have another, we need more studies. And then in 6 months, a year, we'll come back to, you know, no one can wait for years and build a factory based on whether the panel is going to approve you. And they go out of business. And then the next day, GE says, oh, imagination. And they come out and they do it. And the goal is to suppress the innovative companies so that they can't make any profits off their innovation. And then once they're completely oppressed out, and even they'll oppress them until their patent runs out. They've done this to the company that I worked for, which makes MRIs. They will oppress them until the patent runs out. You know, and they'll keep pressed forever. They won't let the public have it. You know, this company that I worked with was called PhoneArt. They make the stand-up MRI. You know, the reason, you know, 50% of all MRIs are of the spine. Okay, and you only can see the spine actually in the position of pain or when the nerves are touching when you're in the standing position because that's when you're bearing weight. And that's when the discs are compressed. And that's where you can see the problems of back pain. But because GE lost a Supreme Court case, U.S. Supreme Court case to Phonar, GE, even though they stole the MRI technology from Phonar, Phonar said, you know what, we're not going to punish people by taking away MRIs. We'll let GE make it. We'll let them make the flat lie down MRI, but we're going to make the stand up MRI. Supreme Court said, GE, you can't make the stand up MRI. So now the stand up MRI should be everywhere because this is why there's so much insurance fraud. This is why they can't prove back pain because GE is not allowed to make the product that you would see the back pain in. So everyone's getting scanned in tubes, lying on their back. People are claustrophobic, but still, you know. There's an open MRI, but GE can't make it, and people are walking around having surgery based on scans of them in the lying down position when the pain is in the upright position. And, you know, this is just one out of 100,000 examples of what has already happened. And GE is the culprit and the wing of the Democratic Party.
Well, you make a good point as well, is that, you know, relate that to the insurance companies. Because we don't know or at least I haven't looked into it too deeply on the requirements that the insurance companies are going to have to cover, but they're not in it to give away services for free.
Absolutely. They've got to make some money to pay for things. And there's got to be a reason that GE happens to be such a huge company. It's because they do have the favor of the government or people in the government giving them the contracts. That's how they got there.
Yeah, if it wasn't for government regulations, GE wouldn't exist. If it wasn't for government subsidies or regulations, GE wouldn't exist. You go to the appliance store, Sears, and you buy a GE product, the government's going to probably send you $300 or something because it's some kind of energy efficient standard that they met. that no one else meets, or only a couple of others meet. And so, you know, they're $300 cheaper than the competitor. And who do you think gets the sale? The other ones don't, you know, go out of business.
I was under the impression that GE Appliances are a different company entirely. They're just the same name. The GE we're talking about doesn't make appliances. They make the electronic things. There's quite a bit.
On the same token, that to your example caller, the larger insurance companies, all they have to do is just kind of wait it out for the smaller ones to go belly up, and then pretty soon we'll be like AT&T was. There'll be a monopoly in the industry, and then where will we be?
I have a philosophy, and I have a prediction, and I don't know when or it's going to happen, but we're going to end up with all the insurance companies are going to be going out of business, and with them most of the insurance, most of the healthcare people, and the whole thing is going to come to a major difficulty. Insurance companies are nothing but a license to steal. Because they have to make money, and in order to make money, they've got to overcharge you. And so we're not accomplishing anything with insurance companies, any insurance companies. They don't help you a bit. And so there's got to be a way to be around that, to go around that. I don't know what I don't even have any idea what England or any of the rest of the world does, whether they have insurance companies or not, but they don't have them the same as they are here, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, they have most countries have universal health care, but the technology they use and the innovation and the drugs that they use in those universal health care systems are the ones from companies whose only reason that they exist is because they're trying to make profits, and they make most of those, and now it's changing, but in the United States. So the free market or the more profitable markets available in the United States create the technology innovation that the universal healthcare companies rely on. But if we go to universal healthcare completely and we lose that profit motive in healthcare, and you have to convince a bureaucrat in order to get your product, you know, used, then we're going to, which is already the case, kind of. Then, you know, we're gonna. All the healthcare industries in the world will either they won't improve and they'll become less efficient.
Well, I think they will improve. They'll have a different impetus or reason to do it. It'll be different than it is now. But insurance companies aren't the answer. They do things on the backs of our citizens. So it's our citizens that are hurting in order to make the improvements in products that other countries use. So we've got I don't think that's fair either.
Well, insurance companies in a free market would be fine. You know, the only insurance companies that people would use are insurance companies that provide a service that they want. You know, right now we don't have that. We have politically appointed insurance companies. You know, they do overspend, the insurance companies. They do send huge reimbursements to hospitals and major medical centers or wherever the politically tied want them funneling to where they want most of it to go. They already do that. What they get in return for doing this is the right to operate in the state as one of only three or four insurance companies that don't have competition, that are antitrust exempt, and that distribute territories with the other insurance companies in the state. And so, you know, that's why insurance companies are willing to funnel huge numbers. You know, I go to the emergency room for a shoulder that's dislocated. They pop it back in, give me an x-ray and pop it back in, and they charge $2,000. You know,
everything is way, way, way out of proportion as far as cost is concerned. You know, we go to the hospitals and they try to keep telling us that the hospitals have a reason for charging as much as they do for certain things, but there's just no way they can back up that kind of cost on a lot of this stuff. So there's got to be a lot of money going somewhere to someone, and it's probably a senator or a representative or someone that's making the bucks somewhere.
Well, and to throw an extra point in on top of that, they're going to increase taxes on medical devices, and locally in Eugene, they've also put in a local tax on hospitals. It's like, what good does that do?
Well, this, yeah. I think it has a lot to do with Eugene itself. Eugene itself, Lane County, is in such a financial ruin and such a problem with any money at all that they'll seize anything to make more money, make more income. So they put a tax on anything they can get a hold of.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, in general, the politicians, they want to run the businesses. They're like an entrepreneur who has an idea and will think, oh, I'm going to change the world and everyone's going to buy my product. Politicians are the same thing, except they're so sure of themselves, they don't want it to be tested with competitors in the market. They just want to offer it to everyone for free and then pay themselves from behind, because they're 100% sure that they are the number one idea of how to provide it, which is ridiculous. And then they make a 5% profit, just like any other business. They can take 5% off the top. They're the most profitable business in the world.
And like I say, what's to stop them now from ordering us to buy an electric car, and if we don't, we're going to pay a penalty, a tax, because we don't have an electric vehicle or a hybrid.
Oh, that's coming. I'm sure that's coming. But I have an answer to it all. Let's elect Ron Paul.
Well, the answer probably is libertarianism, not Ron Paul.
Pardon? Say again?
The answer might be in for the economy, libertarianism. But, but not Ron Paul.
Not Ron Paul. Well, there are other libertarians that could be elected. There are other libertarians that are running. In fact, Ron Paul is not even running on the libertarian platform anymore. So we could – the guy's name – I can't remember the guy's name that won the libertarian. They had their conference already.
Right. The problem I have with Ron Paul is that every time people who believe in that free market economy are arguing with someone, they'll point to Ron Paul, so as if the person that they're trying to explain it to has to go to listen to Ron Paul to figure out what the ideology is. I think it would be better if people who support Ron Paul would, okay, you support Ron Paul, but focus on the ideology and the principles of what Ron Paul is saying, and not just always put Ron Paul's face on anything that has to do with libertarianism or that free market economy that Ron Paul people believe in.
Right, and Ron Paul's kind of out of the picture right now, so we need to really focus on Romney. But we got to get past those people that are in favor of the Obamacare thing, because they're thinking it's going to be free health care. And I was talking with a coworker the other day who's just totally for the Obamacare provision, and he knows a little bit about it, but he hasn't read the act and has really dug into it, what it's actually going to cost him and the other consequences of it. All he's focusing on is the fact that it's going to make his insurance cheaper for him and his family.
You made a comment a little earlier about deceiving headlines. That's what the people read an awful lot of. They read a headline and think they know what's in the bill or in the story. And like you say, headlines can be really deceiving rather than the actual part of the story.
Well, and that's why I encourage people, and we have it on the show page here, a copy of the Supreme Court's ruling and also the Obamacare Act itself. And I really encourage people not to just listen to what's being said on the media, but to actually read it. I mean, a lot of it's legal speak, but, read it and get it from the source. Not be like Nancy Pelosi, who says that you have to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Really? Well, we'd all be better off if we'd read what's actually being said before us, because many times it isn't at all what we think it is. And when we find out what it is sometimes, and in this case, is indeed too late. to do anything about it, and then we're in big trouble.
Right, and especially if you haven't read something, don't support it. Don't support something that you never even read. Is also a good idea.
Oh yeah, like John Culver's. Why read the bill when it's 2 pages and takes 2 lawyers? It's like these are the guys we need to make a list out of, and be sure that they don't get back into office, because obviously they're supposed to be our representatives. Well, you're not representing us if you're just voting public party lines and you're not doing your job. That's why we sent you there, was to read the bill. And now we're living with it.
If you're an elected official and you can't read the bill, then you got to be out of there right away, because we've got to get somebody in there who can read the bill and can understand the bill. And if they can understand, if elected official reads the bill and can't understand it still, then we need to send the bill back and have it rewritten and redone and rewritten in a language that at least the lawyers and stuff in Congress can read it.
Right. And the truth is, though, but with this bill, you can read it and spend 10 years studying it, and you're still not going to know for sure what it's doing and what's going to happen. So, you know, and in those cases, they should just be opposed. You should always be no for a bill until you're proven that it should be yes.
Well, then they'll start rating them so that the no means yes. They'll find a way around that. We've got to write them so that we can understand them. And the idea that a bill is 2,100 pages, there's no reason for that. There's no logic for that. All of that can be condensed down into something that's readable and understandable. And if not, then it should be sent back, redone. We've got to make a way of sending things back and having them rebuilt, so to speak, because if we just say, okay, we're going to say no to everything that we don't understand, then they're going to start rewriting them so that no means yes for them. And they're going to do that. They can figure out a way to do that. And we've got to be ahead of them and say it has to be rethink.
Well, and think about the long-term consequences of what just happened this week. Like in my personal case, I came very close to not being able to pay my property taxes because I don't make that much money. And what I normally do is I use my income tax refund. I set aside to pay the property taxes, and it's just about a one-to-one wash. Well, if I can't afford the health care insurance, and assuming that my company doesn't provide it or doesn't provide qualifying health care, then I'm going to have to pay, I think in 2014, $675, I believe, or 2.5%, which is ever greater. Well, there's almost one half of my tax return, and so how am I going to make that difference up?
It's going to be a hard thing for everybody to do, because it's an added cost to almost everybody, unless you have a qualifying insurance policy as it is. But there's people, you just can't. A lot of people can't afford that, and. Of course, what's happening now is people are prepared to accept this penalty, because the penalty is less than the actual insurance policy. So consequently, they either make the penalty more than the insurance policy or at least equal. But it's the system. I believe that we're arguing the wrong thing. We should just stop it, and when Romney gets into office, we're assuming that he will get rid of it all, and we're going to start over from scratch, which in a way is bad. I'm kind of sad to see that happen, because at least we accomplished something. We got to talking about it. For years and years and years, we've done nothing but to talk about it, not accomplishing anything. At least we've accomplished something, although in this particular case, it was all wrong. We got to go back and do it again.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, yes, healthcare is an important thing, but to pass a law and say, okay, well, I'm just going to pass a law, everybody has to have health care. I'm going to pass a law, everybody has to be well-fed and a millionaire. If you're not, I'm going to tax you for not being a millionaire. You know, what's wrong with you? Everybody should be live in prosperity.
Everybody should be living in prosperity. You've got to be living on welfare, which is about the way they're putting us into that category now. If we don't make enough money, we're going to have to live on welfare, because that's the only thing that can pay for all this sort of thing. We can't be forced to pay for things that we can't afford. And
that's the thing, because the IRS is going to come after you if you don't. Caller, we're going to be switching over to Eric Holder here in probably about 5-10 minutes. Do you have any thoughts on him while I got you on the line?
The only thing I know, I've seen a lot of it, but the only thing I know for sure is that when there's an investigation, you know, and you need all the evidence in order to complete the investigation. You can't tell the police when they're searching for drugs in your house, okay, I'll let you look only in this room. It's enough. Here, you know, you saw the whole room, you know, but there's the other 70% of the room that you don't let them look in. That doesn't make sense.
I agree. Well, I think we're going to – I don't know. There's so many stories going around that say that he has offered some stuff that we haven't accepted because we don't get our way. We don't get everything we want, so we don't accept any of it. I don't know where we stand on particularly that. So I personally believe we need to work on that. I mean, if he's going to be taken to court, then take him to court. And if they say they can't take him to court, then fire him.
I don't know. Can you fire the Attorney General? Because he's appointed.
Yeah, the President can.
But the President just came out with an executive privilege, which up until he did that, nobody was looking in the direction of Obama. Now he still doesn't answer the question that the investigator's been trying to find out is who authorized this. And now the President put his nose into the picture, and so now maybe this goes all the way up to the top.
Right. Well, even if it goes up just to Holder, that's Obama, because if Obama's kind of got it. I don't know. Maybe it does go to Obama, but sure it does, because if it goes to Holder, it goes to Obama, because that's they're buddies. You know, it's like Eric Holder wouldn't be doing something like this. Like giving guns to criminals and gangs and never having a sting on it, there's something fishy going on here, you know. And if Holder is tied, then Obama is tied. So he has to protect Holder, I believe, a little bit. That's what I think.
The way we solve this whole thing and entirely is in a few months we've got an election coming, and we need to get rid of both of them. We need to get rid of all of them. We need to change, make a complete change. We made a big change two years, I guess it's almost 3 years ago now, that we made a change in a lot of people, especially in the House, and things have changed. But we've got to change the rest of them. So this is probably one of the most important election periods of your life. I mean, you can have gone through a lot of elections, and I think this means more than any of them so far. So you've got to make an attempt at least to educate yourself about what's going on, and then get out and vote your conscience, because it's really important that things change. Regardless of how they change, they need to be changed one way or another. And I believe I know how I want them changed, but it doesn't make any difference how I want them changed. They've got to change. So that's the important thing is this November you've got to vote.
And going back to what Cliff admits to about what can 4 years hurt? Well, the Constitution, for as far back as I can remember, I don't think we've ever had so many challenges to the Constitution from the executive branch, at least not as far back as I can remember. I could be wrong, but
to this point, most of the people who have run for president or for in almost most well, that's the president, have had some experience somewhere along the line. I don't think you ever elected a complete newbie, a complete no one to the office until now. And yes, I did say I voted for Obama. And I was thinking myself, I thinking how much trouble can he get us in 4 years? Well, boy, have I taken that wrong. How much trouble he can get us in 4 years. So now we've got to get the hell out of there and get away from it.
Right. Well, the way...
Go ahead, Colin.
Just a great way to help to win the election is not necessarily to talk with other conservatives or to get conservatives to vote, because that would add one vote. But if you can go to someone who voted for Obama and get them to switch to vote for Romney, that's like two votes, because you actually eliminate a vote for Obama and you add a vote for Romney. So we really have, in order for this change to happen, because like you said, things have to change, we have to go to the people who voted for Obama and talk to them.
Well, I'm hoping and thinking, believe me, that the people who voted for Obama are going to realize what they've done and realize that they've screwed up royally. So I think we're going to have huge numbers actually changing their votes. Right now, the numbers don't indicate to that. They are up, they're a little bit ahead. The anti-Obama people are 51%. But I believe that it's a lot better than that if you were actually to go out and you won't actually know. A lot of people don't tell you what they think until they actually do it. But I do believe a lot of people are going to – how can you possibly – listen to what's going on in the news or watch what's going on in the news and not realize how much trouble this man is getting us into? I mean, it's if you have any intelligence of your own, you've got to be able to see that. And so I think we're going to be – it's just important that we all make sure that everyone votes in November. That's the important thing. Don't take it upon yourself to let somebody else do it. You've got to get in and do it. That's the important thing. And I think if everyone gets out and does indeed vote, that things will change.
Yeah, and follow Obama's example. Go out and vote. In fact, go out and vote many times.
Well, let's do that. I don't care how many times you vote, you can get away with it. I'll vote once for... I can't even vote for my dog. I don't have a dog.
That means you don't have a dog in a fight. Uh-huh. No, but according to the way that you're challenging the, I think it's Florida law about identification when you go to vote, is, yeah, you can just go to as many polling places as you want to. In fact, one person even went in he didn't pretend he was Eric Holder. He just said, "Do you have Eric Holder listed?" And they were going to let him vote as Eric Holder. But fortunately, he said that he walked away and said, "I need to go get my ID." But
that's the thing. In Oregon, we don't have that possibility. It's kind of harder to do things like that. We don't go to different polling places to vote. We probably have to vote by ourselves. They probably pay attention to the name in our system.
I don't know. How do you think, Mr. Smith? That one went right over his head. Anyway, 646-721-9887. Caller, do you have any final thoughts on this or anything else on your mind?
Yeah, well, basically, as far as the voting goes, when you see who supports voter ID and who opposes voter ID, well, you definitely learn who definitely is not relying on fraud, this kind of fraud at the polls. The ones that are supporting voter ID are definitely not relying on dead people to win elections. It only has to be among the people that are against ID. Though that's where you're going to find all the people that vote for dead people and, vote for their neighbors who are out of state or moved, or their college kids that they know are in a different state. So it's definitely not Republicans that are doing any of this fraud, because they wouldn't be for voter ID. It has to be someone among those who oppose voter ID. But thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
You.
Enjoyed it.
Okay. Good day.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
It's important to voter ID. I think voter ID is absolutely the way to go, because it's the way to, like he says, it's the only way to be assured that you've got the right people or real people voting. That's all there is to it.
Well, and like I say, you know, people from voting more than once, people that have the right to vote, you know, and by basically saying that we're not going to, you know, require it, you know, anybody can come in. But the wanted to touch a little bit on the Eric Holder thing. The even though Congress has filed contempt of Congress charges against Eric Holder, they said that they're not going to prosecute him, which basically gives it no teeth. And by stating that the, in a sense, the Attorney General's office would be prosecuting. It's the government. They get prostituted. Basically arresting themselves. And so I guess the whole thing is that it just seems like the whole thing's a circus. It's become such a laughing matter. It would be a laughing matter if it wasn't so serious, so to speak.
I agree with that. There's a point where the answer to the whole thing is really very simply, we've got to change the administration. We've got to change the government that we have going for us now, because we've got some people in there that, well, see, I keep going back to this business, we've got to make changes in how things are done. But that can't be done overnight. But we do that by starting with one point. And we're down to the point that it seems to be Romney that's going to be the place to start. So We've got to at least put him in office. But the thing is, we've got to make a dollar difference in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. The Senate is all wrong. We've got to make a lot of difference now. I don't know if there's going to be enough people running and enough people different in there to make enough seats to change the seats to make it change. So we've got to look at this real carefully and find out people who aren't voting our way, okay, our way being to get rid of Obama, to make a difference. So we've got to make a pay attention. You've got to find out how your senator, your representative votes, and make sure he's doing the right thing. Because, and if not, then put a different person in there. If you have to elect one yourself.
There you go. Totally agree with you. 27 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. You can also call on Skype. And by the way, we have a Skype caller, and welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? Good show. Very interesting topics. Obviously, the topic du jour for what's been going on in the country. And some of your callers brought up some real interesting points about the voter ID thing, where you find out who's for voter fraud. And that's the truth. I mean, the Democrats, liberals, they want to keep they think they're entitled to a right to cheat. And they're okay with cheating to win an election. It's literally power at any cost, and forget playing by the rules. They don't give a crap about that. You know what I mean?
That's the whole point, is that when we have the rules in place, like how many times have we heard, especially this last year in 2012, that the president is doing something that's not constitutional? Well, if there's no teeth in it or anything to stop him, I mean, what power does the Constitution have?
Yeah, and he doesn't really care about the Constitution. I mean, didn't he say it was a flawed document? So, in his mind, you know, he's doing what his psychological training is telling him to do, his indoctrination that he got throughout his life. And,
the simple fact of the matter is he's been doing some stuff and getting away with it, and so why should he stop? He's going to continue doing more and more and more. He's going to push the level and push the envelope further and further if he can get away with it. So he's just going to keep getting away with more and more and more, and so that's why we've got to get rid of him.
Exactly. I mean, he like you said, you just said it. He's doing it, and he's not going to stop, and nobody will call him on it, because, you know, the left has this little thing that they love to use against the hold over everybody's heads, and as a little race card, a politically correct, you know, racist accusation that they will hurl. They've used that, you know, a couple of friends of mine, they coined a term, the racial industrial complex. These are black conservatives who brought this up. It's not me. I'm not black. I'm half breed. half Hispanic, half white. And, you know, when we get together, we're the real multicultural, you know, example of multiculturalism. I mean, we're all conservatives. You know, the left likes to peddle this phony, false premise of their version of multiculturalism that is like this fluffy feel-good that's not realistic. And the left, you know, white dorky liberals are perpetuating. They're part of that racial industrial complex along with, you know, the white media, liberal media, and race peddlers like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, et cetera, Congressional Black Caucus, et cetera, and, you know, if you say anything bad about Obama's policies, have nothing to do with race, then they're going to sit there, you know, they can't answer you on a factual basis, so they're going to try and label you something that's undesirable, which is, you know, the race card. And the left has been getting tons of mileage out of that for decades and decades and decades and decades. And it's just like they've gotten too used to having a double standard on it. And so when they saw Obama coming around as a candidate, it's, oh, we can use this guy to really, you know, bludgeon our enemies with if they speak out against him. It's been like a perfect storm, really, for them, you know.
Well, let me ask you this then. I mean, since Obama is the first black president in the United States and the race card being thrown out so many times, personally, I think I would be very scared about putting anybody else of color back into office just because of that reason.
I think the second line would sort of diminish that possibility myself. But I feel I'm the one person who can at least say something about all of this because I'm 57. I've got a little of everything. So I can have an opinion and not be in trouble myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think conservatives just need to get in the mindset that for me personally, I literally don't care what they say about me. You can say whatever you want to because I'm going to say something about you back. I do not put up with their false premises. We have to get in the mindset of, I hate to say this, but we need to get on a war footing because they are at war with us, whether we know it or not. It's just not a shooting war. It's a psychological warfare that's been going on. It's real deep. It's been going on for decades and decades and decades. Conservatives need to, you know, quit playing games with these clowns. They are at war with us. We need to get on a war footing. Do not accept their false premises. Call them on every one of their lies that they tell. Do not let it go unchallenged. And start labeling them for what they really are. They're the real racists. They're the ones who want to divide and conquer America. They're the ones who, like, spit on our troops coming back from the war in Vietnam and in Iraq. It's liberals. It's not conservatives doing this stuff. So let's start making them feel on the defensive. You know what I mean? Because they've had this psychological warfare offensive going on, and we're always on the defensive, and it's time that has to stop. Or we're going to lose this country.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, and that's why Nancy Pelosi is putting out the phrase free rider is to try and make people feel guilty. You know, are you a free rider because you're not on the Obamacare system?
Right. And let me tell you something about Pelosi. She's from my state. I'm in Maryland. She's from Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland. She's the daughter of Del Sonder, who was a mayor in Baltimore. We're talking about, if not to the level of the Chicago corrupt Democrat machine politics, well, Maryland and Baltimore pretty much has almost something going like that. It's like 67% registered Democrats in this state. And now, you know, eventually, if you give them enough time and enough time and power, they will screw up everything. Because we're looking at California, the state of Illinois, state of New York, places like that that have been dominated by Democrat machine politics or liberalism. And now, you know, financially speaking, it's never sustainable. Eventually, at some point in time, it will go under because they're going to have, you guys, I'm sure, have talked about this before, and we all know this. There's going to be too many people in the wagon and not enough people to pull it. Well, in Maryland, California is a prime example of liberalism's roosters, chickens coming home to roost. You know what I mean? Like Reverend Wright said. Well, I say that about California. And the same thing I'm watching here in Maryland. And what's funny is all these liberal Democrats here that have consistently been voting Democrat for decades are now starting to move out of the state because they won't live in the very crap that they themselves have created. Now that we've got Martin O'Malley in here.
how is it that we can have places like Maryland and like Chicago? I mean, these are well-known places for corruption, and this has been going on not just for a couple of years, but for years and years and years. How is it this continues to go on and nothing can be done about it? I mean, we've got to pay attention to what we're voting for, or who we're voting for, and do something about all of this thing. Is it America, the general public just sits on there and does nothing? I mean, what's the answer to that? Is there any answer?
Well, you guys have talked about something earlier before I called on. Also, I wanted to mention, I'm glad you brought it up because it reminded me, I wanted to mention, the left needs the uninformed voters. How many people in Chicago know that there were actually three made mafioso? We're talking about actual mafia members, made men, who actually got elected to the city council in Chicago. We're talking about, I'll give you names, Fred Rohde, John DeMarco, and Pat Marcy were elected to the city council. How many voters in Chicago know that since the 70s that there's been 30 city council members in Chicago that were actually sentenced to jail time for corruption? You know what I'm saying? So they depend on the uninformed voter, either by just the voter just not having news sources, credible news sources, or by misinformation that the liberal propaganda machine in the media spins for the voters. Because you got to figure, most people, if you get a job, you go to work all day, you come home, if you got a family, you got to, you know, you put food on the table. You might sit down in front of a TV for 15, 20 minutes, and then you see some liberal reporting something for like 30 seconds, and that's what you think is the truth. You know, if you're not...
Americans are fat and happy, and they sit down and don't do anything. They just let it happen. Everything happens around them. Something is going to happen, or going to have to happen, and I think we're almost there in this particular election to make a difference. Something's going to have to shake American people up enough that we actually get so upset that we do something about it, at least pay attention to it. And, you know, look at how many people, I mean, what is the percentage of people in the United States that actually do? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It's like an alcoholic or a junkie that needs to hit rock bottom before they realize they got an alcohol problem or a heroin problem. And then at that point, maybe they start making some changes. But maybe until it actually is a cold, hard slap of reality where you have no choice but to deal with it. And like you said, we're getting close to that tipping point. No doubt.
Well,
it's not already there.
To be a cold, hard...
It off when you think about it, is that everybody has been... The people that have been interviewed and trying to... we were told that, like on the Obamacare, we were told that it was a penalty. And so now Ronald Gibbs and others have been trying to question Obama and others about it being a tax and how they're avoiding the question altogether. So we've been sold a bill of goods, basically.
Yeah, I mean, well, the guy, he's a pathological liar. He's been lying since before he was actually inaugurated. He said he would take... public financing during the campaigns. He changed his mind about that as soon as he figured out he'd get more money. You know, he said he was born, when his parents conceived him at the Selma March, which was actually 4 years after he was born. I mean, the guy's been lying through his teeth since he was running for office. And it's just lie after lie after lie. At least now, to me, at least the one thing the Supreme Court did the other day, they actually certified him as a liar now. It's certifiable.
Very, very well done, as a matter of fact. We now have the possibility that he does lie, and Supreme Court has told us he does.
Right. It's not a tax.
And
you know what's funny? Now they're trying to say that they're still trying to pawn off that lie that it's not a tax, and even the Supreme Court has ruled that it was a tax. Now they're still actually trying to say it's not a tax.
Well, that's a a continuation of his lies because he's not going to admit anything at all. I mean, plus the fact, you know, in his speeches, in his campaign speeches or his televised speeches or otherwise, he's going to say whatever he wants to say because he doesn't have to when you think about it. That's the thing that's a problem with our entire elected officials or elected number of people. They lie about everything. And it's been that way for quite some time. And we just let it happen. Why did we let it happen? Are we stupid?
Go ahead, Colin.
Okay, thank you. I mean, it's just a lowering of standards where if you're okay with somebody continually lying to you, if you're okay with somebody who's a thief being elected to office, somebody who's a criminal being elected to office, you're okay with cheating in order to win that election. And what does that say? It just says that you're okay with like low quality, low standard of character. And that's just, and then when you tell people, well, he's a liar, well, then you hear responses like, well, you know, all politicians lie, like they're excusing it or something. It's like, that's a really sad statement on us that we're sitting there going, well, they all lie, and we accept it.
Yes,
you know, we should
right.
not accept anybody that's lying to you. If somebody was a con artist, you thought that you liked them at first, and then you find out they were conning you out of money or lying to you right and left, and they continue to lie, how long are you continue to like that person? You know what I mean? And this is like
a long time.
It's a major problem.
Because that's all of our elected officials just about are a con artist. They're doing the same thing, and yet we're letting them go by. I mean, until something shakes us up, and I think it's going to be the economy that's going to do it, because that's the one thing that affects everyone, the dollars in their pocket. That's going to wake them up and make them think and make them pay attention. Let's hope. So, and I think our economy is going to be the one thing that's going to shake us all up and make us vote for in this particular coming election. And I certainly hope it does that, and I hope it does it before it destroys the country.
Yeah.
If I may, let me play this audio clip here real quick. This is George Stephanopoulos when he was asking the Health and Human Services Secretary, Catherine, I'm going to say the name on CBS, asking her directly if it's a tax or not.
Okay, I just have a very direct question for you. On the individual mandate penalty, is it a tax? Yes or no?
I am not a lawyer, so I'm not equipped to answer
okay.
that question.
So when the OMB director stated before the House Budget Committee that the individual mandate penalty is not a tax, President Obama has publicly stated that it is not a tax, yet your legal briefs in the Supreme Court case in writing have submitted on your behalf, because you're a named defendant in that proceeding, the practical operation of the minimum coverage provision is as a tax law. Do you agree with your attorney's assertion to the Supreme Court that it is a tax provision?
I think it operates the same way a tax would operate, but it is not per se a tax.
Okay, so it's not a tax, but it operates as a tax. That's your testimony.
I am not a lawyer. I do not want to try and quote the legal briefs. I would defer to my legal team, and I'm not really going to try and parse this back and forth.
Isn't it interesting how they are avoiding an answer that question?
If it quacks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, I still think it's a duck.
Yeah, they got caught, and they're just kind of going, well, you know, okay, we had to say what we had to say to get it going. Ha ha, too bad. You've got to live with it now.
Well, that seems to be her opinion to answering things. It's just by not answering them. I don't believe that in the position she is in, and then she holds that she can do that. I think she needs to be held accountable for it, especially since her name's on the thing and she is accountable for it. So to say I don't know or to say I don't want to answer that because I'm not qualified, then she's not qualified to be in that position and should be removed from that position immediately.
And who was that woman that was getting questioned?
Her name was Kathleen
Sebelius?
Yes.
Sebelius, yeah, okay. Health and HHS, she used to be governor of Kansas, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we've got to have people who are going to stand up for what they believe and be legitimate about it, because standing up for what you believe and lying about it ain't standing up for nothing. And right. Not bothering to stand up at all is even less, worse yet. So we've got to change the entire aspect of things and install people in position, vote people in, or whatever, however you want to do it or call it. We've got to make them people who can account for themselves. And we're a long ways away from there. So we've got to change a lot of people in a lot of offices this particular election time period. So, again, it's extremely important to vote. It's extremely important, if you can, to try to understand what you're voting about. But if you don't understand it, you know, you can actually call your local senator or your local representative and ask them about it and ask them to explain it to you. And if they can't explain it to you to your satisfaction, then replace them. This is the kind of thing we're...
Well, let me throw this scenario out to you. Because we're in the middle of a recession, which, of course, the government, 2 years ago, said that we were over with officially.
And recovery summer.
Recovery summer, exactly. So, okay, so because of Obamacare, let's say you get laid off. All right, so now you don't have an income. You're on unemployment if you're fortunate enough to get it. And then, as you found out that being on unemployment now, you got to pay taxes on unemployment. So at the end of the year now, because you don't have health insurance, however, your gross income for the year still shows that you have income, now you're going to have to pay a $675 penalty for not having insurance. Now what? The IRS is going to collect.
Well, that's why the economy.
We're going to all be on welfare. That's what's going to happen, because we're going to be taxed to death. We're going to be taxed more than we can afford, so consequently we're going to be on welfare.
Yeah, but you're still going to owe the IRS the money.
You're not going to owe the IRS the money. They're just going to take it out of your welfare. That's what I think Obama is wanting. He wants everyone to be on welfare, because then he can control exactly what you get, what you don't get, and how much of it.
Well, remember he said like a week or two ago, he said he was talking about trying to rag on trickle-down economics. He said we need more trickle-up economics. I was like, what are you, insane? If liberals have their way in power for any length of time, this whole country is going to be one huge ghetto and everybody's going to be in poverty, except for the Learjet liberals like Soros and Obama and that whole crowd. And you know what's interestingly enough? Nobody ever says this, but this is just logic speaking in my book. Mm-hmm. Those people, Soros, Ted Turner, the whole laundry list of people, you know, Michael Moore, the Democrats in Congress, John Kerry, all those clowns, Jane Fonda, how did they become filthy rich? They used a capitalist economic model here in America to become filthy rich, and then they want to impose socialism on the rest of us. But if you think about it, logically speaking, the fact that they themselves are filthy rich using capitalism proves what? That capitalism actually works.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Yes, absolutely. We should be going after it.
That's why they say socialism works for the socialists.
Exactly. If you look at the socialist economic models, communist economic models, anything going down that left road, I don't even distinguish between them. I just look at it as leftism or totalitarianism, whatever you want to call it, whatever label. It all goes down the same road. Fiscal insolvency, bankruptcy, if you survive the murderous regime that will murder their own civilians for not agreeing with them. So everybody's poor if you survive it, except for the leaders of the party.
Well, I think that's why that it's all going to change this particular election, because our economy is so bad and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And so many things are getting worse that we're going to feel it enough that it's going to make a big difference. And if it doesn't, 4 years from now, letting Obama in there, if they decide not to change him, then we're going to have sheer disaster. The economy is going to be bad enough by that time that we definitely will make a big change. But I think it's bad enough now, and then enough people are hurting now, and enough people are in trouble now, that we are going to have a change there. There's so many more people out of work than we count as most of the time that they're going to make a difference. And you can vote even though you're out of work.
Be right. Just like this. More scarier than a Stephen King movie, Obama Part 2.
Really, exactly.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because in the second term of Obama, he doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. Remember, he got caught, he thought the mic wasn't hot, and he got caught telling the Russian guy, my next term I'll have more flexibility. Remember that?
Really? Well, I hate to see what had happened when he has the more flexibility. I tell you, he had enough trouble when he was being held accountable, if that's what it was.
I think in the last couple of months, we're going to see even more stuff coming out. It's like a professional gambler who's got cards up his sleeve. Well, I think he's got he's kind of like Spider-Man or whatever. He's got five or six different sleeves that he can pull from.
Yeah, he's playing with house money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, in this case, taxpayer money. Like all those bets he put on Solyndra and, 20 green energy companies, and I think 18 out of 20 are bankrupt now. Geez, where'd all those billions of dollars go before they went bankrupt? Whose pockets are they in?
Well, he's got at least 18 friends.
Well, and what was classified, I forget what testimony it was, when they were narrowing down the classification of green jobs, well, just being a dishwasher is a green job.
Really?
It's really scary, and I think that we're going to see more. I mean, just like with the thing with the putting a hold on deportation, like what the government has just done on California or Arizona's 1070. You can go ahead hold the people, but we're not going to answer the phone. So if they choose,
right,
had law in the book, but they're making the selective decision not to enforce the law on this and some of the other laws.
Yeah, he's picking and choosing what laws he's going to enforce. And I think the American people need to turn right around and give him a big helping of his own medicine. And we're going to sit there and go, okay, liar, we're going to pick and choose what taxes we're going to pay. Have fun with your Obama tax.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you bankrupt, just real quick here, it's like what happened in Oregon. We passed Measure 56-57, and it was supposed to be a cure-all for the schools. And then after we passed it, they found out there wasn't enough people left in our businesses in the state for the tax revenue. So they're still running up in the problems.
There you go. That's exactly. Remember in Poland, Lech Walesa and Solidarity?
Oh, yes.
That's what we need to do if we have to.
Really?
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Caller, thank you very much for calling. I hope you'll join us again next week. Definitely a good call. And I hope that the rest of you will join us again next Monday, 1 p.m. If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Your comments are welcome, of course. And again, we'll be back 1 o'clock next week, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And have a safe 4th of July, everybody.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.